One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, 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 what is going on, everybody, on this 4th of July, I really can't say weekend, more of a week. Thanks for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, El Cameron, and as always, the firecracker master himself, the man that invented the Husker Do, the Husker Don't, and the Screaming Willie, Kyle Filio-Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, it's hot. It's almost 4th of July here in the States, and we're looking forward to that celebration. We've been baseballing it up all weekend, though. I have to admit, I'm a little bit tired of it. It's just too much. We had a weekend of a tournament, and there were several days that it rained.
Yeah.
So what the normal schedule was, you played a game like on, say, Tuesday, and then you'd play your next game on Thursday, and then you would play a game on Saturday, and then based on how you did, then they would form a bracket, and then your bracket games would play, and that would do follow the same path the
next
week.
Not this time.
We had all this rain, and so what they did was they compacted a two-week-long tournament into a space of 2 days. So basically, like yesterday, all day long from 8:30 till 10:30 last night, we were at the baseball fields. We played three games in a row, and each one of those games is about 2 hours long. In the heat, I'm baseballed out, you know. And I'm just like, it was fun, but it was a beating. And of course, we made it all the way to the championship, and we lost the championship game. But I think it has a lot to do with playing so many games in a row. The boys, they were just tired. They were making routine errors that they just normally never
pull. If you were tired,
off.
Imagine how tired they were.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, not to mention, we were at a wedding all day Saturday.
That's right. Congratulations to Monty and Shandon.
Yep.
Edwards.
I did the wedding. We had a wonderful time out there. We were there pretty much all day.
I photographed it.
Yeah, right. So
they told me I did an awesome job.
So, yeah, we a busy weekend, to say the least.
And then tomorrow, I'm just going to be floating in a pool all day, getting my binge drink on, eating some barbecue and watching firecrackers.
I don't know why you're waiting until tomorrow. I'm binge drinking as soon as we click these mics off.
Well, there you go. Right? I'll start early.
Let's do it.
I'm not doing nothing.
Let's do it. High five. High five on the... We're high-fiving on the binge drinking as soon as we get done here. It's on and popping. On and popping. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Hope everybody wasn't quite as busy as we were. But let's get down to it. What do we got to talk about,
homie?
Yeah,
man, check this out. This comes from the Bangkok Post, and it's about how a district chief asked local police to protect his village from this. From ghosts, Cam.
Whoa.
Now, I'm going to mess up some of these names, so please be very forgiving if you're from Thailand. A district chief in Amnatkarin province on Wednesday clarified his request for police protection for a village haunted by ghosts. Now, Shakri Thongkaroin.
Who was that again?
Shakri Thongkaroin, who is chief of the Pathumrat Wangsa district, wrote an official letter dated June 22nd to the local police commander, asking him to please send police to his village to boost morale for residents who have been stricken by fears of the legendary ghost known as Feepob. Now, please consider sending police and the Tambon police volunteers to provide security for the village and the people and their belongings, is what the letter said. Now, after the police chief agreed to request on that Tuesday, they actually sent some of these troops in to patrol it very regularly. They said public health and livestock officials were also dispatched to the village. Now, according to Mr. Shakri, he said that he felt the need to help after the chief filed this complaint, saying that there's this legendary ghost, apparently, Cam, in Thailand known as Feepob. And it, apparently this is deep within their folklore. And it's been haunting this village. And they said it's responsible for the deaths of 4 animals and the sickness of 4 residents. Now, this in Thai folklore, this Feepob is said to inhabit human bodies. And then when it does happen, the person becomes ravenous for raw food, including the organs of live animals.
Cue the Ghostbusters music.
Right? So this is a very serious thing, and the people were freaked out, and this is, apparently this happened. So the authorities went out there, okay, this police force. And
so what are they going to do?
They patrolled the town. They took a look around. They didn't really see anything. They said that it did boost the villagers' morale and that they believed that the ghost of Feepob is left. They did a study of the cattle that died, and they said that one of them died while it was giving birth. The other one they think was sick because it had some kind of virus or something. And the same with the people. They don't think it was this ghost Feepob.
But they don't know for sure.
But they don't know for sure. But the locals there, they're saying that's what it is.
So Feepob.
So they sent in the police force and the ghost left. So every once in a while, even in 2017, you find these stories where it's like you're living in ancient times.
You know what? From now on, like if your kids misbehave, tell them that they were just, they had been taken over by the spirit of Feepob.
Feepob, that's Pheepob. Two words, Feepob.
Feepob.
Crazy, right?
That's wild. That is really, really, it's wild, but they take it serious. That's what's it's hard for us to kind of wrap our heads around it here.
Well, but you're exactly right. And what's funny is this happens in different places of the world. Like this is happening in a small village out in Thailand. And you'll also see similar things like in Haiti and in the Caribbean, where they believe that people are taken over by these zombies. Even in Central Africa, they have these beliefs where people are possessed by these spirits. They think people are witches and they'll kill them. Lots of times there's even tragic cases where they think that the kids are possessed by this whatever spirit, and they'll actually desert their children. Like, I'm talking like a 2-year-old baby. They'll just desert the baby because they think it's possessed by something.
I should have done that to my kids because I'm pretty sure one of them was possessed. I'm pretty sure one of them was. We must be really boring to them whenever they read our news.
Right.
And like, that's it? That's all you got to be upset about? We got Feepob running around over here.
Feepob.
Right? I've got you something that's pretty unsettling. Lon posted this. He received this, let's say, from one of his readers named NL. And NL posted this, and it's about a grinning man. And this makes you start thinking. I'm going to read this to you. It says, in early April of 2017, I required a CAT scan at a local hospital here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm sitting in the waiting area with a couple of other people there, and each person was called and taken in the back by a woman. And I was the last one left, waiting for an unreasonably long time. So I kept looking for anyone to call me for my scan. Well, after a while, I became restless. So I got up and looked in the CAT scan hallway, but nobody seemed to be there. I walked over to the other area at the reception desk, but no one was there either. I thought they must have all gone on lunch break, and I was not happy, so I went back to my seat. A few minutes later, the CAT scan hallway door opens, and I'm expecting to see that same woman asking me to come in. But this time a man came out. Now, the only words that I can write to describe him or that he was bizarre and downright hideous looking. Exceptionally tall and thin, he had on a strange looking suit and tie. His eyes were just slits. His skin was scarred, and he was completely bald. My initial thought was, there is no way that this guy works here. He looked so horrid. He would simply scare children and half the people that needed the scans. He also had the most insidious, wide grin. See, I really wasn't scared, but completely perplexed why this guy would be allowed to work in this environment.
He called out my first name and took great pains in pronouncing it. I followed him in and sat on the scan table. He went around the corner, but kept looking at me through the window. Then he was gone. I waited for several more minutes until two other men came in to do my scan. Now, I don't know why, but I didn't ask him about the weird-looking man, and in fact, I actually kind of forgot about him. That was until I was at a friend's home a few weeks later, and her sister dropped in for a visit. Now, she mentioned that she worked at the same hospital in the radiology department. So I asked her, said, "Who's the bizarre man that works there?" She gave me a bewildered look and told me that she had no idea what I was talking about. She asked me to detail his appearance to her, and she again confirmed that no one with that description worked there and became somewhat hostile at my insistence at what I saw. A week later, I went to my doctor for the results. His words were, "I'm sorry, this is quite unusual. Your CAT scan is missing." The scan and report vanished and couldn't be found. Now I wonder if the weird grinning man was responsible. NL. So what do you think about that, homie?
Man, that's crazy. You know, the sightings of the grinning man is,
But how weird is it? It's in a hospital. It's like he's working, like an orderly.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, look, grinning man got bills to pay, too. You got to make that paper.
One time when I was speaking with David Weatherly, I believe he said he saw it one time on a road when him and a friend were driving down. I believe it was in New Jersey.
Really?
I know the first sighting that ever took place was in October 1966 when two boys were walking down a road in New Jersey and they saw this odd-looking guy. He had like a green jacket on, but the green, it wasn't sequin, but they said it looked like it was reflecting the lights a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Hey, mister," or whatever. And he turned and looked at him, mm-hmm. and then this giant ear-to-ear smile came on his face. And it's kind of like, it's creepy because it's not like he's laughing. It's just like a crazy looking yeah. smile. Now, I remember John Keel was actually wrote about that in his book, Strange Creatures from Time and Space.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I ever read about it. Now, of course, one of the other famous sightings of the grinning man was, what's his name? Woodrow Derenberger. Remember, he was encountered the guy injured cold.
Yep, yep.
Okay, which they put in the movie Mothman, you know, with Richard Gere. But yeah. in actuality, the Mothman and injured cold are actually two different things.
Yeah.
They're not the same. They're not one and the same like they made it portrayed it in the movie. But Woodrow Derenberger, you can go on YouTube and listen to transcribed tapes. I think we've even played it on the show before of him giving the account. He was driving home at night, late at night or something, and he saw a strange object lay on the road. This grinning man approached him, stood outside his window,
yep.
and was communicating with him, but through mental telepathy. So he wasn't actually speaking. And he told him, "You know, my name's Injured Cold, and, you know, don't be afraid," or whatever. I don't remember exactly what he said, But anyways, the guy itself was just sitting there staring at him with this crazy smile.
But even that, what you're describing are odd encounters.
Yeah.
You're not in a doctor's office.
You're not
waiting
in a doctor's office.
I mean, because you would think, okay, let's say you're the only one that sees him. Nobody sees the door opening and closing. The other two guys that come in to do the scan didn't. They didn't go, "Who brought you back here?
Exactly.
What are you doing back here?" Or did this dude get abducted right out of the whole deal? This whole thing was alien grays, and he thought he got scanned. The doctor's like, "Man, there's no scan there." Well, the reason there's no scan is because it never got done.
Any of that's possible. And I, when it comes to stories of like the grinning man and some of these other entities that people see, I don't know. The reason nobody else sees it is because you're the only one that can see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's only visible to you.
It does make it seem that way.
So it could be a crazy hallucination, or these beings, whatever they are only making themselves visible to you. Because I like so many of the stories, whether it's the grinning man or Duende or whatever the story is, how many times have you heard of these stories where people accidentally see something and then whatever that is notices you seeing them?
Uh-huh. Well, we talk about it.
And then they're like, uh-oh, they can see me. Like, he's not supposed to be able to see me, but he is.
Yeah.
And then they either scurry off or they fade away or people don't remember anything else. Like the little MIB stick where they, you know, flash your memory? I don't know.
Yeah. The neuralizer.
But it's, yeah, that's it. But there's... It seems to be a common thread in all these sightings. I don't know, man. That's crazy. And if you like sightings like that, you're not the only one. Apparently, Rob Lowe is starting a new series with his kids. The actor, yes. There's going to be a debut soon on TV on A&E channel called The Lowe Files, in which he and his two sons go in search of paranormal things. And he claims that in some cases, they actually have found it.
Well, we had a good amigo hang out with him.
Yep. Lowe told Entertainment Weekly that he had an incredible encounter with a creature known as the Wood Ape, which is a version of Sasquatch or mm-hmm. Bigfoot. He said, "I'm fully aware that I sound like a crazy Hollywood kook right now," he admitted.
but he said he was terrified by his encounter. He said, I was lying on the ground thinking I was going to be killed. He said, since the wood ape encounter in the show's season finale, Lowe has refused to reveal too many details about it, but he did set the scene. He said, we were about 100 miles from the nearest town. We spent 45 minutes on the most rugged, brutal mountain trails. It's 1 a.m. There was a lot of serious, former military men with loaded weapons with me. Then, something started approaching our camps, and it's defying their orders to stop with their warnings that they were armed. Now, that's all they're saying. It's a teaser, okay, folks? A&E said that the news released that the show's 9 episodes will tackle all types of things like aliens, remote viewing, angry, vengeful spirits, and more. This will premiere on August 2nd, so we're going to have to check that out. You big Rob Lowe fan?
Yes, I am, and I'm also a big fan of Mike Mays' work, The Texas Cryptid Hunter, and Mike was the one that was doing things with him over that during the trip down here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's pretty cool. I mean, my favorite movie of Rob Lowe's is, I mean, Youngblood, the hockey movie. You ever seen Youngblood?
Yes. I knew you were going to say that.
He's practicing how to fight up in the barn and stuff. Remember when his dad has to teach him?
Yeah.
Because he's a really good goal scorer, but
my favorite
terrible
hockey
at fighting.
Is Slapstick. Isn't that what the one is?
Slapshot.
Slapshot. Yeah, that one. I like that one. That's a good one. With the brothers and whatnot fighting over toys. I like that stuff, the whole thing.
I like Miracle because, of course, we win.
Yeah. yeah. Well, speaking, as long as you're going to go along the lines of Bigfoot and kind of something that I'm going to be talking about today, this is an interesting thing from fizz.org. And it instantly made me think of Sasquatch or any kind of Bigfoot encounters. And like we had discussed, how people don't seem to come across them. This is a study that was posted a few weeks ago. It says, mountain lions fear humans fleeing, you ready for this, when they hear our voices. And this is a new study revealing this. It says, Fraidy Cat isn't the way most people think of mountain lions, but when it comes to encounters with humans, perhaps maybe that they should. There is new research into the behavior of these cats, and it indicates that they do not like encountering humans any more than we like encountering them, basically. And the findings are particularly valuable as human development encroaches, they say, on lion habitat, because we know that the numbers of us interacting with them are going to go up. Now, Justine Smith is the lead author of the paper, Fear of the Human Super Predator Reduces Feeding Time in Large Carnivores. That's the name of it. Now, it was published in the June 21st online edition of the Proceedings of the Royal Society. And this is what she says. It says, we exposed pumas in the Santa Cruz Mountain to the sound of human voices to see if they would react with fear and flee, and the results were striking. They were definitely afraid of humans. Now, she, you know, Smith, that led this study as a graduate student in environmental studies at UC Santa Cruz, and her colleagues devised a novel experiment to gauge this behavior. They placed audio equipment on these kill sites that these mountain lions would come to there in the Santa Cruz Mountains. When they would come to feed, the movement in that area triggered the broadcastings of just people talking, and a hidden camera would capture their responses. Now, Smith says this, that they broadcast the recordings of a Pacific tree frog vocalizations as the control sound. It says that we found that pumas almost always ran from sounds of humans and almost never ran from the sounds of frogs. And in 29 experiments involving 17 of the cats, they fled 83% of cases as soon as it heard human voices, and only once when they heard the frogs. Now, in addition to this, they established, of course, the fear response. It reveals changes in their feeding behavior that they believe that could also have implications on the human-dominated landscape that they're going to be living in. Now, Chris Wilmers is an associate professor of environmental studies at UC Santa Cruz, and as a senior author on the study, said this, we found that pumas took longer to return to their kills after hearing people and subsequently reduced their feeding on kills by about half. Now, those behavioral changes are significant, as our previous work has shown that they cause pumas to increase their kill rates by 36% in areas with high human activity. Goes on to say that fear is the mechanism behind an ecological cascade that goes from humans to pumas to increased puma predation on deer. Keeps going in. It says that this, we're seeing that human disturbance beyond hunting may alter the ecological role of large carnivores, and that as we approach on their habitat, the lion habitat, our presence will likely affect the link between top predators and their prey. Now, this is a long-term study, and it began in 2008.
And it makes sense, right?
It makes total sense. So basically what they're saying is when they hear our voices, they flee. They don't come back as often, but they still have to feed. So what one kill that they would come back and feed on several times, they don't get to do that now. Now they have to kill more often because they're still hungry, but they flee from human voices. So our encroachment, them hearing us, is causing them to ramp up their feeding. We always thought it was, oh, well, the animals are there, so there's more opportunity. You know, we've got dogs and cats and sheep and horses and cattle and whatnot. There's more opportunity for these predators to feed on. And it's actually just the opposite. They wouldn't feed anymore if it wasn't for us scaring them away from it. So
isn't that interesting?
It's because wild, right?
It's very similar to when it comes to coyotes.
Yep.
Farmers and stuff started killing coyotes thinking it was going to thin the herd, make the number smaller, but in actuality, it made them breed more.
Yeah.
So by killing coyotes, it actually boosted their...
They start breeding more.
...their population.
Yes.
So that's crazy, right?
Well, and I love the idea of our voices alone. It kind of gives a tie-in. I would always think that every time I see these where they study with just predators or anything like that, with the way they react to us, I think of another reason of why it's harder for us to find Bigfoot. It's harder for if he's out there or she or if they or whatever they are. If they're there, maybe this is another thing. They react the same way to voices as the big cats. So when they hear it, that's why you don't see them. You don't get a chance. They don't take a chance.
Right.
Because out of all this, I mean, out of all the people we know, I mean, and everybody think of this, out of all the pictures, all the things out there, yeah, there's pictures of big cats, but they're still not common. You're not getting like common photographs of mountain lions all the time in your area unless you're really doing work to study them and really trying to. So it's not something that you just kind of stumble upon most of the time. So you got to think of something that's even more elusive than that, I suppose. But before we go into break, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be talking about. When we come back, we all know that I've got a trip coming up to Florida and all these things and over the summer. So I was thinking about something that would be fun. And then, of course, like I said, one thing led to another. It's summer vacation. It's close to 4th of July. And I'm going to be talking about the Florida summer fun with Bigfoot sightings down there in that state, all along the beach areas and their wooded areas, things like that. It's just fun to think about a vacation of Bigfoot sightings. So when we get back, folks, I'll be talking about a little Bigfoot fun. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We are back and ready to have a little summer fun with the big hairy man himself. Everybody likes a vacation, and if I was Big Feets, I would be living in Florida. I would be down there too, I'm pretty sure. The warmer climate would probably beat the cold weather. Although you're hairy, it may be better in the cool weather. I don't know.
Right.
I guess the thing that always gets me when I went to looking into this is I'm not very well versed on all the forestry areas of Florida. But I do know it's the northern part of Florida that has it, you know, as it starts getting up in close into Alabama, Georgia, and all that stuff up in there. But still, you wouldn't think of Florida as being an area that's heavily wooded. But it is funny, the number of sightings that they get from the swamps of the skunk ape and the things that's down in that area and all the palm fronds and all. I mean, when we were down there last time, I was just amazed at how It was thick. It was way thicker than I thought it would be. I guess for some reason I had in my mind of South Texas or going down along where Corpus is of just kind of like scrub brush and stuff like that. But it was a lot thicker than I thought it would be in some
of
these areas.
And now they have anacondas and pythons and stuff.
Yeah, right. You know what? I wonder if the Sasquatch would eat those. I would imagine so, wouldn't you? I mean, I would. If you were out there, it would probably be easy to catch. They don't have any natural predators, so it would be something along those lines. But I'm going to start talking about a few sightings that they had seen, some during the day, some in the evening, but all in Florida, because to me it's just a unique thing. And around the month of the summer, we're talking, this first one comes from Clay County near Middleburg, Florida, in the month of July. All right. Now, it was nighttime when this one was actually spotted, and it was around a place that they said had these planted pine like flatwoods. The story goes like this. It says there was four of us, and we were riding in a pickup truck along a dirt road on my grandfather's property. Now, that portion of the property had been planted with these flatwood pine trees and a little undergrowth of other native vegetation. Now, three of us were in the back of the truck looking for deer with the spotlight. We were rolling along roughly about 10 miles an hour. Now, the one of us that had the spotlight was just sweeping it across from side to side of the road, and all three of us in the back of the truck, well, we had the guns and whatnot, and that's when we saw this creature standing about 25 feet from us, just a little off the back of the road, kind of in the edge of the trees, and it just standing there looking right at us. And as the light swept across this creature, all three of us saw it, and all three of us yelled. Then the light was on it only a second or two. We backed up, looked again, and this creature was no longer there. Well, we were all super excited, and we asked each other, what did you see? What did you see? So we all started kind of confirming each other's stories. Now, this is what we came up with. It was roughly 8 to 9 feet tall and covered with long, dark hair. Now, we couldn't see any ears on its head, but its eyes were glowing yellow when the light hit it, and its shoulders looked like that of a football player's, or like it had on shoulder pads. Now, its belly stuck out a little bit on the sides, and he was thicker in the stomach area. And this creature's arms were really long, so long that it appeared that its hands were nearly to his knees. Now, when we backed up to try to see him again, of course, he was gone. But that's when the smell hit. Like an old sour pig or old hog musty smell was all in that area. Well, after we checked to make sure we couldn't see him, we all kind of got a little nervous and immediately left. Now, there were two other witnesses there that was in the back, of course, with me. It was my older brother and our friend, and it was all in the back of the truck. Now, there's some other stories that come from this area that I had found, okay?
Yeah.
That's what they had seen. They had drove through here, spotlighting deer, looking around. You know, you read one part, one says they have, one of these accounts says they've got guns, other one says they don't. I don't believe they had them. I believe they were just out looking for animals.
Just looking for wildlife.
You're just monkeying around and
being kids. I've done
that
several times. Not illegally hunting at night, but like just driving around on the deer lease or something just to see what you can see.
Yeah. And now, of course, it's illegal, but I don't know. I doubt it was illegal when this was all going on. But now it can be considered wildlife harassment.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they were just out there having a good time. And come across this thing with the click of a, you know, snap of a finger. You go through there real slow. You know, you're talking 10 miles an hour or so is not that fast. And you're driving down a rough road, you know, out in your grandpa's land when you hit this thing. The thing I like the most is about its height, because I'm thinking of these trees are probably not giant trees. They're probably, you know, decent heights, but enough that this thing is probably close to the tree's height, I would imagine. Kind of like in a big cedar break. You know, you got like 12-foot trees at best.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Now, here's what's odd, is there has been several other sightings in this same area of Clay County near Middleburg there in Florida. There was another one that took place back in 2005 near this little hardwood forest that's there along a creek, and this was during the day. It says this, it was on a warm day of 2005. It was around lunchtime. The person sends this in, says that me and three of my friends decided that we wanted to go fishing. And we had cooked leftover pork chops, and we were going to use it as bait since we were fishing on private property, and that we were actually trespassing. So that's the reason I've been reluctant, of course, to turn all this stuff in to talk about this. Says after about an hour or two of fishing, the two friends I had with me that are a little bit older said, "Hey, man, I think there's a bear over there in those palmettos." So I was like, So he's like, "All right, let's see." So he said he's the oldest of the group. All right, he's out of the three friends, he's like the most mature, right. Maybe a few years older. So I said, you know, since you're the oldest, go over there and check it out. See what's going on. So they were like, all right. So he gets up, and as he starts going, the others are like, let's see what, you know, they're kind of slipping along behind him. So they go over to these bushes, right, to check out. They think there's a little bear in there. And the fella says that he got 10 feet from these bushes, and that's when he saw these two dark eyes looking out of the brush right at him. And he said he could tell that in the eyes, this thing looked curious, but it also looked scared the way it was looking at him, kind of wild-eyed. Said it stopped him dead in his tracks. He wasn't nothing. You know, it was like, I don't know what this is. Just froze. So he's trying to check this out. While he's looking at it, he starts hearing this growl, but it's real low. Almost like the rumbling sound of just a real low, like when you hear a dog growl, but it's even a lower rumble than that. Said at that point, it struck something in him. That growl, that almost like it was something remembered instinctually in his DNA, that rumbling, instantly he's terrified. So he says he starts yelling. And when he starts yelling, he said, of course, this thing that he's looking at goes from being a little afraid and a little curious to instantly rage. Like this thing's going to defend itself, right?
It was crouching
in these palmettos. The guy says it stood up out of these palmettos looking over him. So, you know, he's a little ways from it still. Stands up about 10 foot from him, and it's towering over him. Said I had to guess it had to be about 9 feet tall standing up. Now, he did say this. When it stood up, a whiff of odor hit him, and it's that stink, that musty stink slams into him when it stands up. Instantly, he notices this. There's no fur around its eyes. It's just skin, just nothing around there. And there's a mark, he says, on its face right above the upper lip. Said he couldn't really remember if it was on the left side or the right side, but it looked almost like a scar. He also says this, that its nose was flat like that of a gorilla, but also the skin was mixed like that between a gorilla and a human being. And the skin was really dark, and it looked, the skin itself looked coarse, like rough, coarse skin on this creature. He said it also had very, very long arms, and that there was no hair on the lips, and the hair that was around on its head was very, very dark and kind of matted like a dog. He said, so when this thing rose up out of the crouching position, said the dude that saw it and all of the other two with him just took off.
Yeah. Well,
they just sprinted, right?
No kidding. I mean, and I think that's the skunk ape.
That's
what inspired Lynyrd Skynyrd to sing, ooh, that smell. I mean, they're from Jacksonville, Florida. That's what I heard.
Yeah, there you go.
The smell that's around you.
It's the skunk ape. That's what it is. Well, so the day ran back to the house to get a camera and a 270.
Yep. Good move.
Right. Good play. Well played. But they waited for several hours before they went back down there. So they go down there, right? Now, you remember this. They had their fishing poles. They had their pork chops they had cooked. This whole, they were having like a little camp out. When they go down there, the pork chops are gone. Food's gone, right?
Yeah.
Gone. Fishing poles have been scattered everywhere. Everywhere. Tore up, the whole, just slung off. He also said that they weren't wearing their t-shirts, that they had taken them off since it was hot, and that they had laid them over there on this branch. And just, I guess, just kind of like a little area, just everybody throw your shirts over there and the whole thing. Well, they were still there. The shirts hadn't moved. Only the fishing poles tore up, thrown around. Food was gone. Nothing. The creature, gone. Nothing. Nowhere at all. The guy says about 5 days later, he was riding his bike down this trail there by his house, going to one of his friends that lives down around the corner. And he said right out of the corner of his eye, he saw some movement. He said it caught his attention. So he stopped. He said he looked over to his left and he saw this huge creature walking across through these scrub oaks about 200 yards away from him, right to the left of him. And he said, by the way, that was the swamp that had been dried up. He said, so at that point, he sees this thing moving through the brush. He turns his old bicycle around, pedals off. Now, this was 5 days after seeing it the first time. Then he goes again at the beginning of summer of 2007, he started hearing wood knocks in the woods there by his house. He said normally they would come from different directions. Three, to be exact, different directions, and they'd be 4 or 5 knocks at a time, about 2 or 3 minutes apart. But he said that they would start, here's the thing, on some of them, they would start getting more and more frequent, and then they would start being in more and more areas more frequent. So it went from 3 to like 5. So it's almost like They moved in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a whole group of them moving through his property.
They started moving through his property. Exactly. So that's what. So this dude in this same area where the first sighting was, the very first sighting was seen where they were spotlighted in that same county. Now this dude sees it over the, like 2 years' times, sees it three different times, sees it twice, and then hears it, you know, multiple times over the last 2 years of wood knocking and all this. So in that area, it's and I guess it's this. It's not necessarily have to be super thick brush. It just has to be brush or areas that people don't go. And I'm assuming you don't go just traipsing around out in the swamps. That's
Not unless you want to get bit by a snake or an alligator or stuff, or you know, snapping turtle, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Snakes is the most deadly thing.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, especially now, not just the most poisonous, but I mean, how would you like to get one of those big ones on you?
Like a water moccasin or
something?
Well,
you're just talking about one of the pythons or some kind of constrictor gets a hold of you out there in the water.
There's snakes out there this big?
Yeah, right. Ozedon. So here's one from Collar County up near Naples is real close to here. Back in August, in the summer of 2009. Now, they say that what this place looked like was it had some higher ground, but lots of palmettos, little sandy, you know, ground and whatnot. Palmettos, some thicker cover with some pine trees in it. And they said where this was sighting was, there was also some open grassland, some swamp, right?
Yes.
Now, that was several people, I think, observed, like two people, I believe, observed this. But this fella's name goes, just says it was him and his friend Dan is what it says that saw this. And it had happened a few years before, you know, when he had actually reported this. So, like I said, it happened in 2009. It said that they were walking along a dirt road, and they come across this canal system, and they were actually looking for a good place to bass fish. I feel you, bro. I feel you. It says that as we were walking, I thought I saw a large, like, brownish-colored legs. Looking through the brush, like, I thought I saw some large brown legs.
Just legs.
Just legs walking
along
the trail.
The top part was obscured.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah. He said, I didn't say anything at first. And then Dan leans over and asks me if I saw that. I said, did you see that? And I was like, yeah, I saw some huge brown legs, and I thought I saw them cross in front of us. And Dan goes, yeah, man, I saw it, but I thought it was just my eyes. And he goes on to this. He's like, the next thing you notice is he thinks there's a Sasquatch in this group of trees next to the canal, and they see it looks like it's looking at them, like checking them out. He says the reason that he says this is he said as they were walking, they started hearing some rustling in the brush, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the branches. That's when they noticed it. It was like, what in the hell is this? And it kind of pushed its way through the branches enough to where it was visible, where it was like letting them see it. So it's like, hey, you know, you always, I see you. And I want you to make sure that you see me. So we both, you know, we both know what's up. I'm seeing you, you're seeing me, right? This whole deal. Well, Dan and all this stuff, they've talked to Dan. Dan's the whole thing. This dude went on. He's a freaking biologist. So the whole thing. These guys, they happened when they were a little bit younger. They've gone on now to, of course, do more and more things. They've gotten together in the past and talked about it some more. And they were both trying to hash out, did we really see what we saw? What they believed that they had saw.
What could you mistake in a big set of brown legs?
Exactly. What they believed that they saw was this thing was living in this area, and that's where it had almost what they said was like an area like beds. Like there was bundles of sawgrass piled up and bundled together, like something big was laying or sitting in it that they found. They said that they also thought that what they found was the remains of what they said was a bear, and it looked like it had been torn to pieces, and that they had spent many nights up and down this area since fishing in these areas, and that they heard calls that they said could have only been made by a primate, that's the only thing that could have made these sounds. They go on to talk about, several you know, times they've spent on this waterway areas where they had this sighting, they find these beds, they hear these calls. They also talk about a smell. They come across a smell multiple times up and down this canal system. And they said the one thing that they wanted to get clear was it wasn't like the smell of like a sulfur, like, you know how whenever there's decay, whenever there's plant matter and animal matter in the water, it sits to the bottom, there's bubbles coming up. It's not like that. Said it wasn't like that kind of smell. Said, you know, some people report it smells like methane gas and all this. And I could understand that coming from the canal. But what they were smelling was not that at all. Said it was a very odd odor. And it was almost like the stink of rotten eggs, like that sulfur smell, but there was more to it. That musty, musky smell.
Yeah, I've always heard it smells like literally rotting garbage.
Yeah,
that trash.
Yes. Yes.
Hot trash.
Well, hot trash, right? Hot trash. They go on to say that there was one time that they had happened to them that they were out collecting crawfish. They were getting them some crawdads out there. And that while they were collecting them, they started hearing these noises up ahead of them in the direction that they're going. So for 30 minutes, it seemed like this thing was keeping pace with them as they're going this direction. Said at that point's when they walked into a cloud of that stink. Like, so they knew whatever it was either just right there or was really, really close. And that's whenever they were like, okay, enough of this. We're outie, you know, boom, we're right. Gone. So they had several, and have had in the past, several encounters with sounds and smells and seeing some sort of proof of something big in that area. But they only had that one thing of it crossed in front of them and then backed up in the brush till it got there and then stepped out. And yet they still say it was big. It was a big, larger than a human. And they describe it in the same sense. You know, I would always think, like, because we've heard sometimes the skunk apes are smaller than some of the Sasquatches that they get in the Pacific Northwest and things like that.
I know that, and that makes sense to me, too, as from a hunter's point of view.
You would
whitetail
think,
in Alberta are much bigger than whitetail in Texas.
You would think it would, but some of these encounters aren't that way. Some of these, it's like, man, I wonder if maybe there's multiple species in Florida alone. Now, there's another one from Collier County back in 1980 in the summer, in July of 1980. And it goes back, said it happened, and the dude that reported it said it happened, you know, in the swamps and the woods there in Naples, just right off of this little area. Now, this is a neat one. They were apparently walking around back in there, him and some of his friends walking around, and they come across what this dude reported. This is back, like, now mind you, 79, 80. What he said was a metal trap. I'm picturing like a hog trap, right, that they're out there catching hogs.
Mm-hmm.
But said the odd thing about this hog trap was that there was meat hanging up in it, and that it was on a trigger trap. So if you went in there to grab the meat, the door would slam shut. And he said it was big enough that you could catch a bear in this trap. But knowing that there was no bear in this area, that they didn't know what in the hell they could have possibly been needing to catch using this meat, okay? So while they see this thing, now this is 2:00 in the afternoon. They're in the far back of this swamp.
So this isn't their trap.
This isn't their trap.
So they come across the trap and they're like, what is this old fella trying to capture that they need a cage this large?
Yes.
Okay, I'm following you. Right. Now you got me interested.
Right? So, yeah. So they're walking around about, there's three of them walking around. It's like 2 in the afternoon. They're way back in this palmetto swamp, making their way around in there, and they come across this cave. Yeah, our cave. Cage. And it's got this big hunk of meat hanging in there. So the brother, one that was with them, starts talking about it and said that they were all 12 or 13 years old at the time. And they were about 300 meters into this swamp, is what they said there. And it's right on a road, I guess, right outside of Naples, Florida. And said this, when they found this cage, this is how they described it. It's a steel cage. This is their estimation, 12 or 13-year-old estimation. It's 8 foot deep, 6 foot tall, 6 foot across. The first thing that they notice is it looks like a deer's hind quarter hanging in the back of this cage. And they said it's not like rotten meat, all right? It's just fresh, like,
somebody just laid this trap that
day. Yes. Somebody put it there. So the brother that was with him decides, I'm going in this cage. So he goes in the cage looking to see what's going on. And in there, that's when he notices that the meat was tied off on this trigger mechanism. And that if you were to pull it, it releases the spring and that big door in the front slams shut. And that's it. And I'm assuming it locks the way it sounds. Here's what's really wild. So they're standing around this cage right there like, what in the world is going on? They're walking around this whole cage looking. They don't know. These three kids, you got to imagine finding this out in the middle of nothing. You're like, there's no bear out here. What are they trying to catch? Well, they said all of them they get this anxiety that they didn't really know how to deal. They're like, why are we feeling so nervous? What's all? Then they said this smell hits them while they're at this cage. They describe this smell as like musty, rotten mushrooms. That's what they describe this smell like, which is odd. I've never heard it described like that. But it sounds like it could be almost the smell of like leaf litter in a forest is almost what it smells like. Said at the time they hit this smell, behind them, they hear a roar, a loud, clear roaring sound. And said the roar lasts about 3 to 4 seconds in length. Well, of course, at this time, they're freaking, right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Freaking out. So they panic. He's like, all right, we're gone. They turn to run. And as they run, the brother actually says this. He said it was a log. He said the log was at least 4 or 5 feet long and about 12 inches around. And it flies from behind them out of the brush where they're at over their heads and landed in the ground on the other side of that cage where they were standing. Wow. As they took off. Yeah. Now, he says as he ran, he took off running. You know, they all take off running. He stumbles like he would in any horror movie, right? Panicking. Falls down. He said he got a big cut on his leg where he fell. There's still a scar on it to show, yeah, this is where I fell when I was panicking, running out of there. Now, they get home. They start telling the mom about the whole thing. The mom, the brother, and the friend are like, this is what just happened. She doesn't know. You know, she's like, what are you talking about, this whole thing? Anyway, the boys are like, this is what we found. She's like, we don't go in there. So they agreed. They're like, man, we're not going back in there at all. We're not going back for a while. And they didn't for a very, very long time. So they dug around a little bit more into this story. They said that this roar came very, very close. Like, it's not like 100, 200 yards away. It was very, very close. And one of the other boy that was with them was actually interviewed about this and said that he recalled it a second grunt, like roar, that couldn't have been no more than about 10 paces behind them when they took off running. So they heard it real close, and that grunt was right about the time that this log come flying out of the brush at them. So whatever it was coming towards them, grunting and roaring, threw the log at them. I don't know if it was maybe they didn't mean to throw it at them. Maybe they just got caught in the crossfire. I'm not sure. You could say whatever. They all reported the smell of that stench was like a rotten mushrooms and skunk smell when they all took off. Now, they did say this, that they know a bear cannot throw a log like that. Like, it's just not going to happen. So during the investigation into this, and the guys that were talking about this when it was reported, they went back and talked to the mother. And the mother said that the kids, when they ran in the house, that they knew something had scared them really, really bad. That the boys at the time were in...
They could tell.
They weren't terrified.
Just making up a story. Yeah.
Exactly. That they weren't just making anything up. They were like, whatever it was really, really bad. So the mother even said this, says, look, And she didn't start talking about this till much later. So you got to imagine, the boys are 13 in 1980. So, you know, the mom. So later on in life, she starts talking about this. She goes, I knew they had seen something because a few years before that, my husband and I actually watched one cross the road in Tennessee about 2 o'clock one morning as we were coming back home to Florida. And she said, I saw it. It was black with matted hair and about 7 feet tall. So I knew what these boys were talking about.
Wow, so they'd seen them. They'd had a sighting of their own in Tennessee.
Yeah, the mom actually was like, I knew what they saw was actually freaking them out. So now, we're still talking about this. Here's another daylight sighting. The Ocala National Forest in 2006 in Marion County. Now, this is what got me. You're talking about temperature in the 90s. Sunny day in the 90s, thick woods. And this is pretty crazy, right? They said they know there's usually a lot of people in this area, but never in like the month of July. It's too hot. This is what happened. A girl and her father were riding in their car going down a forest road, Forest Road 65 in the Ocala National Forest. So they were getting real close to the part where this 65 intersects with Forest Road 90. Now, she says that the road is white and sandy. And of course, the sand on there is beautiful. What I saw in Florida was beautiful. They said as they're driving along, they noticed that there was a figure up in the distance kind of silhouetted against part of that white sandy road. Like, you know how it goes up a hill, you could see somebody walking, it silhouettes them against that hill in front of them.
Yep.
That's what they noticed. And even a good distance away, they said, man, that's a dude. I said, it's a pretty big guy, right? And I'm like, that's a pretty big dude. But said, here's what they knew instantly was odd. Beside it being in July and extremely hot, there was no campground in this whole area where they're at.
Right, so they're like, what's that dude doing out here?
Exactly. And another thing, they're like, he's not carrying anything. He doesn't have a backpack. He's not got anything in his hand. No bottles of water. No trail poles.
He's a minimalist.
It's
Cody Lundin.
Extremely minimalist, right? And said at this point, it's like a mile or two. There's like a trail, but it's like a mile or two from that area. So where the trail crosses the road is south of where they're at. So this figure is truly out in the middle of nowhere. There's no trails, no hiking trails, just walking down a sandy road in the middle of nowhere. She says that as they got closer, that it seemed to get dark, like darker colored, this figure did. And that's when they noticed it was covered in hair. Now, as it was on the side of the road as they approached it, and then it crossed the road quickly to the other side. But when it did, she said it didn't really seem to be as big as what I initially thought it was. It was probably only 5 or 6 feet tall. But it was still hairy and ape-like. Said when they got to the point where it had crossed the road, they stopped and looked. She said that it was just thick piney woods, and said her and her dad were kind of in shock. She said, so it was still a few hours later that they realized, you know what, we should have really looked for tracks at this point. But this is the one thing that she said, it was definitely not a bear. Because this thing walked on its two legs, like normal, the whole sighting. Right now, she says, oh, look, I know there's bear out there. I know what bear look like. And I've seen how bear walk when they walk on their back legs. That's not what this thing was doing. This thing was strolling down the road like a person would walk. But this person, 5 or 6 feet tall, covered in hair, much like a bear. But what she describes is the way it moves with its arms, the way it swings, the whole thing is very primate-like. And she witnessed it cross the road. They stopped, couldn't see any more of it. That was it. So they watched it for a long ways as they pulled up on it. It's like this thing didn't hear them. You know what I mean? Like the whole time it's walking, it didn't know
they were there. Probably wasn't expecting to see a human either.
You're right, out in that area. Probably not. Now, there's another one took place in 1997 in July in Marion County. Right there, very close to the Ocala National Forest. Actually, it was on a campsite in there. And this was a real quick and easy one. Talks about this person with their family. Said they went on a little walk, a little hike there in the forest. And they walked across a little bridge over a stream, doing a little look and taking a few pictures. Said they were going to stop and rest. So he said, all right, I think I'm going to let my sons go run around and play, right?
Right.
They come running back. Just, they hadn't been gone no time, like 3 minutes. They come running back, freaking out, saying that they had gone down to the stream. They were going to get in there, I guess, like kids, you're going to skip a stone, play in the water. I don't know, but I'm drawn to the rivers every time you go down there anyway. Said they go down to the stream back around this little bend where the brush is, about 3 minutes away. And said there is a big gorilla crouched down, like kneeling almost, drinking out of this stream. And when they turn the corner, this big thing turns, stands up, sees them. They realize how big it is. It goes one way and they go the other way, back to mom.
Yeah.
Freaking smooth out. So I was like, what? So they've surprised it. So yet again, it didn't plan on anybody to be out there. It just walked up on it. But now here is one. This is one that I really, really, really enjoy. Okay.
Okay.
This is a guy working on a logging road there in the Ocala National Forest. He operates a road grader. All right. So he's driving the big blade, leveling off the roads. This took place back in 2004. In the spring, so in June of 2004 in Marion County. Now, he actually talks about how it took him about 4 years before he even spoke to anybody about any of this, because he didn't want to sound, you know, like a crazy person.
Right.
But said, look, I was working there in the Ocala National Forest, and it was his job to maintain 117 miles of forest roads for all these logging trucks. And he said, I thought I had seen everything, you know, in that forest as far as wildlife, everything. So, but that day it was 95 degrees, and I was wrong in thinking I had seen everything. Said about 200 yards in front of me, a large dark brown animal was standing on the side of the road. Said I noticed it was about 6.5 feet tall, and it looked at me, and then it crossed the road. Now, he said, I drove the motor grader to where it crossed, and that's when I looked down. And they were tracks. And he said, these tracks were about 12 inches long. And he said, I had no radio. So I thought, well, you know what? I'll just keep it to myself. Said, I crossed the road in 3 steps because I had this job to do. And as I finished grading the road, and this time, you know, I said, I never told anyone, but I know what I saw was real. So they go back and they have to start digging into this thing, you know, and they start doing all this. And there was a BFRO investigator went down and talked to this fella. The investigator's name was David Wright. So he goes in there and he said, all right, I'm going to find out where all this goes down. So he said that this road grader there in the National Forest there was pretty deep in the forest, about 5 miles from any campsite, from any house, from anything. So he didn't know exactly perfectly where on the road, but he knew which road he was actually working on. Said it was around noontime, and that's when he saw this creature. And he said, now he says this creature was dark brownish or black, and it was looking right at him. And he said he stopped that road grader for about 1.5 minutes, and it stood there staring at him. Didn't seem to care about the sound, didn't seem anything, like none of it bothered him. said it turned its head back and crossed over about it. The road at the time is about 18 feet wide, and he said he did it in 3 steps. This creature took 3 steps across the road and was gone in the woods on the other side. Now, he said that there were 2 visible tracks, and both of them left the footprints in the road. Now, the right print, he said, was not apparent because of where it had stepped more in the center of the road. The crown was a little harder than the sides. He said, so he didn't really see that part, but he said the other two you could tell was 12 inches in length. And here's the really cool thing. It showed 5 toes, and they were 7 inches in width. Now, he did say this. He goes on to say that he saw broken branches where it looked like this thing had gone into the road. Now, he had kept grading. There's 3 more miles of that road. He kept grading it through there. Said he never stopped again. None of that stuff, right? And he said he noticed nothing. Where he had stayed, there's nothing else going on. So, what he saw was what he described was twice as husky as he himself. Big, thick like that. Its arms swung like it was a human being's, the way it moves across its body, except it had no visible neck and was a big, bulkier version of a human, basically, in that dark color. I can't even imagine, but he did say this, that he is 100% guaranteed he knows that's exactly what he saw. He's not mistaking it for anything. This is what he saw. So, I'm like, we got to find one more here for party time. So where do everybody like to go party? Palm Beach, right? Everybody likes to party in Palm Beach. They're in Florida.
Play a little golf.
Right? A little Palm Beach. Well, back, this took place in 75 when this all went down. In July of 1975 in Palm Beach. Now, the person that reported this said that they actually, where they saw this, is a very rural area. And it's west of Lake Worth and near in these Everglades. And it used to be a hog farm. Now, it was, they said this, it was mainly during the nighttime hours that they had this stuff happen. And it was, there was dog kennels around them and trees and all these canals, you know, and I guess they had raised some animals to go along with these pigs and whatnot. But what this person reports seeing, in this took place like over the summer of 74 and into 75, that they would call their skunk ape there. That's our skunk ape. Yeah. Said that they would see it at night come out and eat mangoes off of their property. Said it would also even come to the travel trailer that was on their property and start looking inside like it was curious to see what was going on. They said they even had one occasion where this thing had picked up about a 100-pound pig out of its pen and took 3 large bites out of the back of it.
What?
And then spit it out like it was trying to bite through it to get to the liver. That's the side he was getting down on. And then that says that he ate all of the pig. He was biting it, spitting it out till he could get down in there to it to eat the whole thing. He said that they would even come home sometimes and notice that the horses were going crazy, just running back and forth, like whatever it was out there looking at the horses. Now, the person goes on to say that during this time of all this was going on, that there was a large fire actually burned off part of the Everglades in that area. And he said that we had actually kind of had this idea that maybe it was due to the lack of cover in this area that made them, whatever these things were, get their skunk apes, get closer and closer to their house.
Lack of food.
Lack of, exactly.
Just like you were talking about in the intro.
So, this person goes on to say, I saw the whole family of these creatures one time. Said the first one I saw, I thought was a big one until I later realized that it was must have only been the young one. Said it was about 7 feet tall, had brown hair. Long brown hair. So, it basically what we're seeing. Says later on, I would see what I could only describe as, I would guess, his dad. And he said, I would describe, now get a load of this. This is going to blow you away because it kind of blows me away. I would describe the father, it says, as being roughly 12 feet in height and have silver gray coarse hair. And the what I described as the mom, he says, was brownish and gray hair and being roughly 8 to 10 feet in height. Every one of them had no neck and long, thick, muscular arms. And also said that they could run extremely fast, and all of them smelt terrible. So they even tried hunting for these things, trying to go out and get them. But said it was almost like they were playing a game with us. Said they spent about a year. Said they are also very smart. Said if we even shot at them at close range, he said they would rub the spot where we would shoot at them. Like if it's almost like saying that they hit them and it didn't do anything to them. I don't know what he's shooting at them with. But that's what he's basically alluding to, is that we would shoot at them, and if it made contact, they would rub it like it was like a paintball slapping into them. So now he's saying that these things are 12 foot tall and bulletproof.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he did go on to say that there was even the neighbor was a police officer in this area, and this police officer witnessed some of these things and said, look, we saw them too. And it says as the Everglades started growing back and getting thicker and thicker and thicker, that they quit coming around so much, that they would start going back in. Now, I did say this. None of them ever showed any aggression towards them. So they never seemed really aggressive towards us, even after we were shooting at them. Nothing. But he did say that we could always hear, while they were around, this strange chattering language in the night. Like, you would listen, and it was some sort of chattering, some sort of communication. But said that we saw big ones, we saw little ones, all of them. So there was roughly about seven of my family members, including the neighbors, saw all these things. And the one thing that he always says is my neighbor further down the road actually called the police one time because she said that she thought they was the biggest, now this is what her report was, the biggest black man that she had ever seen was coming in there and eating rose apples off of her tree. And she wanted to get this guy arrested.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So it seems to me that Florida
is packed.
And that is scratching the surface of these things. What I thought was odd, and the reason, and that's the reason I saved that one for last, is the sizes. You notice the size differences. The smells are all the same, folks, but you notice the size differences. We start off 7 or 8 footers. We go down to 5 or 6 footers. Now we're back up to 12 footers. Like, what is, so was the 5 or 6 footer, could it have possibly, I know we're going into speculation mode, could it have possibly been a juvenile?
A juvenile or a subspecies of Sasquatch?
You're 100% right. So I just, look, like I said, I'm going to Florida. I'm going to ask around. Now, where I'm going, you know, is along Navarre Beach and stuff like that. So I don't know what's going to be around there. But I love asking the locals about local sightings. And anytime I travel, and I urge all of you to do so, anytime you plan on traveling anywhere, start looking at the strange and unusual things that are seen in that area. So while you're there, you can ask some questions, gather up some cool stories. That's the thing that I like doing the most of, is doing a little research on where I'm going for the strange and unusual.
It's cool.
So that's going to be it for right now, folks. If I find some more crazy Florida stories while I'm down there, I'm sure I'll let you in on it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this puppy up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I love the stories of the Sasquatch, Sasquirts, Sasqueech. Whatever, skunk, apes, grass man, whatever you want to call them. I love the stories.
I can't help it,
it's
dude.
It's all the same. Like, they're just these encounters people are having in the woods, way afar, you know, far away from society. I don't know. It's one of my favorite topics.
Yes.
It is still, and it's one of the ones where I go back and forth. There'll be days, because like Jacob was just asking me just the other day, Dad, you believe in Bigfoot, right? And I was like, well, you know, I don't know. That's a complicated question. Mm-hmm. There's times where I'm like, yeah, I could see that there could be a small population of some kind of North American wood ape. And then there's other times where I'm like, you know what, man, how come no one's ever found the bones and stuff? But once again, I start talking to myself in my head while I'm laying in bed. I'm like, well, maybe somebody has found the bones. I didn't know what it was. Or they put it in a private collection, sold it on the black market. It's like a Banksy now. People buy these, you know, Sasquatch bones on the black market. You have to go to the deep, dark web to find these auction houses that sell Sasquatch teeth. And who knows?
Yeah, right.
But I do like the stories. And if you like these stories, folks, don't forget there's an extra show we do every week called Expanded Perspectives Elite. And if you go over there, you can sign up. It's go to the website and click on the Elite tab. Signing up is easy. It's a PayPal. It's $5 a month. And you'll get an additional episode every Friday, as well as access to the entire back catalog. So quite a bargain. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on iTunes. really helps us out, especially when people are looking for new paranormal podcasts to talk about and listen and share with their friends. Cameron.
Yeah.
I know
it's
4th of July here. You're going to be shooting fireworks and getting your binge drink on. What do you got planned for the rest of your week, though?
It's just going to be a normal week. Trying to cram in with that day off, trying to pack a lot in there. Here's what's funny. When you get to have kids my age, and I'm sure all of you that have older children, it's that way, is they already have their plans. Like, my son does his own thing, of course, but now my daughter's already got plans to go do stuff with her friends and stuff like that. So it will just be my wife and I. So I'm sure we'll probably see y'all over at RJ's and Shelly's, and then we'll hang out around the pool and have some drinks and all that stuff. But I don't have to buy fireworks anymore. I don't have to go and do any of that stuff. It's really, really quite nice.
Well, I got you a package of snakes over here, and I got some smoke bombs, too.
Did you get me some sparklers? I really like sparklers.
I like the snakes.
I'm a big fan of the snakes. I'm a big fan of the chickens that shoot fireballs out their butt. And I'm a big fan of sparklers.
Yeah, I used to like the tank. You know, it's like a little green cardboard tank.
Yes.
And it would shoot some stuff out. It's just some of the things. And I see the kids really like that stuff now. And I'm like, man, that's garbage. But I remember back when I was a kid, I really liked it. Speaking of kids, let's see, what was it? It was Friday night. I forgot to tell you this, Cam. We were at home. We had dinner. We had nothing really going on. We're like, hey, you want to watch a movie? So I went on iTunes. I went on Apple TV. And I saw that Skull Island was out. So I was like, you want to watch this, Luke? And of course, he was like, no, it looks kind of scary.
No, please.
I bought it anyways. It wasn't available for rent. I had to purchase it. I dropped $20 on it. I bought it. Luke was losing his mind.
So he loves it.
Oh, he's watched it like 5 times now.
Yes.
He loved it. Loved it. Not just that. I'm telling you, this is Luke's weekend. There was a Godzilla marathon on this channel called the El Rey channel. I didn't even know this channel existed. I've DVR'd back-to-back like 16 episodes of Godzilla. Now, next weekend, because I know you're a big fan, they're having a marathon on American Ninja.
Oh.
You remember those corny ones?
Yes.
Where the guy would go to different places and fight these dictators dressed as a ninja.
Yeah,
and
had
stuff.
His bucket on his head. You had to try to hit him in the head with your wooden stick.
Yeah, what was the other guy? Sho Kasugi. You remember those?
Oh, I love that guy.
What were those
yeah.
called? Those weren't called American Ninja.
Those that were like Revenge of the Ninja, Enter the Ninja.
Oh, that's the thing. That's
yeah. yeah, those were great.
Where he would spin into the ground.
Yes. Yes, that dude is awesome.
I love that. Let's also, don't forget, guys, if you want to sponsor the show, you got to sponsor support our sponsors. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchased by visiting www.casper.com/expanded. Remember, you got to use the promo code expanded. Also, right now for our listeners, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/expanded. I hope everybody out there has a great week. And for you elite members, we'll be speaking to you again on Friday. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.